Well, good morning, folks. Once again, happy Easter, happy Resurrection Day. Oh, praise the Lord that you're all here. We seem to be having a problem the last few weeks, fitting everybody in here. And in 3 weeks, it won't be an issue. We'll be in the big house, as they say. Our scripture text is taken from the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3 in verse 10. And we'll be focusing on these five words: the power of his resurrection. Let's set that in its context, beginning in verse 8. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Our first point this morning is taken from context. You cannot know the power of his resurrection without also knowing the fellowship of his sufferings. The gospel is a whole. It cannot be divorced from itself. And the gospel content is recorded by the Apostle Paul in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So, friends, there is no Easter Sunday without there first being a Good Friday. There's no Sunday morning service without there first being the way of the cross. Where there is no crown without the cross. In what way, one may ask, might I know the fellowship of his sufferings? The Lord Jesus speaks to this on at least two occasions. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. And again, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Isaiah, in that epic chapter on the suffering Savior, writes this: surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You must confess yourself a sinner and confess Christ your Savior, the lover of your soul, who paid the ultimate price for your redemption. Friend, I ask you, do you agree with the Lord concerning these things? For as Amos writes, can two walk together unless they are agreed? And so, friend, being a Christian comes at a cost. It cost God's Son, who presented himself, the Lamb of God, come to take away the sins of the world. Being a Christian seems to have a high cost at times, and that's why some run, and others hide. Some are in denial about God's very existence, and others seek to comfort their guilty consciences by finding a brand of Christianity that is as much like the world as possible. We had a beautiful day that the Lord gave us yesterday, and several of us went traipsing around the city of Woonsocket, sharing the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, speaking of his finished work and his resurrection. And you meet all manner of responses when you ask folks the question, or some form of the question, what think ye of Christ? And yet, that's what we're called to do. What the Lord does with that work is up to him. That's his work. As the excellent coach might say, all we have to do is do your job. And so, in fact, the salvation from sin and resultant peace with God is a free gift. Paul rightly realized that every competing affection is, quote, rubbish, garbage, compared to the excellency of knowing the Son of God as our Savior. Giving up that sin that you hold on to is a cost, it seems, until you come to your senses and you realize that your sin is destructive. It is destroying you from the inside out. And so by repenting of that sin, what do you have to lose? Nothing. There's nothing to lose. Even in the act of repentance, there is gain. The unbeliever does not, will not get it right on the question of sin, and will miss, as a result, the very next part: the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. But the believer, to you, Scripture says, and you he made alive who are dead in trespasses and sins. The power of his resurrection has the same source as the power of his gospel. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, and not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus when? Before time began. Before time began, God had a purpose and a plan for you. But he has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. By the power of his resurrection, God the Holy Spirit has made his dwelling place with every Christian. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. It is the power of his resurrection by which men are regenerated. As the prophet tells us in the record, breath came into them, dead men, and they lived. As our Lord Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is our Lord talking about? Well, unless one is born physically and spiritually, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. A man must have two births to enter into the kingdom of God. And by virtue of the second birth, He will have two births and only one death. The unbeliever has only one birth into this world and will experience two deaths, including the second death. For he has not believed and heeded the message which we preach this morning, which was given to us by the scriptures, that Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. Very simple. Very simple message. But we who believe can and do enter into the kingdom of God. How? By the power of his resurrection. Holy Spirit baptism, identification with the Spirit, of which water baptism is a picture, is made possible by the power of his resurrection. We are buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Forgiveness. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful word. What a great thing to hear when somebody says to you, I forgive you. Life is too short to hold on to petty grudges and to find problems where there are none. Forgiveness received and guaranteed from the divine. How? By the power of his resurrection. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Now, just prior to Jesus proving his power over death, he asked Martha the same question that he asks each and every one of us this morning. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you know the power of his resurrection? You may answer as the fool, or you may answer as the wise. The choice is yours today. And friend, if ye be of the household of God, may you bask in the victory of the day. For the power of his resurrection means that you are a partaker. That you, by his cross and by his victory, have salvation and peace with the Father. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this appointed day, this appointed season, which points us, even all men, to the victory of the cross. For who has not heard of these things? And yet so many, for pride, choose to reject them. Lord, may you do your work in each and every heart by your Spirit from within the believer and in the world from without. We consider the work that you've done in us, in our families, in our church, in our workplaces, in our community, and wherever we've gone, and we rejoice. Lord, may we be rejoicing all the day today. And if the conversation over the course of the day turns mundane, we pray, Lord, that you will give us continual reminders of what it is and who it is we celebrate today. We thank you for the victory of the Son of God, for he is risen indeed. We rejoice in these things, and we pray them in your name. Amen. We'll now offer one another a sign of peace. At that time, the communion message will be brought, and we will celebrate the communion table.